Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Psalm 23, of course, is one of the most famous passages in all the Word of God, the Shepherd's Psalm. Many people, whether they're saved or unsaved, have at least heard this psalm. It is a very familiar psalm, but yet the reason why is because it has so much comfort. It has so much encouragement. It teaches us about our great Shepherd. It is a very calming psalm. So if you don't mind, look with me in Psalm 23, and let's look together. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice with me in Psalm 23 in verse number 4, and notice the phrase, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And so with this, as we go through our Treasures of Darkness Sunday School series, we're going to notice this, through the valley of the shadow of death. Through the valley of the shadow of death. As we see this idea of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it mean to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, in order to understand it, we need to get some context and see what the Bible says. Hold your finger here and turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter number 1. We want to learn about our Lord, and we want to see what the Bible says, so that way we can get a good understanding of exactly what is being said here by this phrase, the valley of the shadow of death. In the book of 1 John, towards the end of your Bible, so if you're at the very end, the book of Revelation, keep turning the other way, Jude, then you come to 3 John, 2 John, and 1 John. 1 John in chapter number 1. 1 John in chapter number 1. And it says in verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And all these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And this is the message which we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all." No darkness at all. Do you understand that in God there is no darkness? So as we talk about the valley of the shadow of death, we start off with understanding that in God there is no darkness. There is no darkness. There could be no veil of darkness at death, because in Him there is no darkness at all. So when we talk about the valley of the shadow of death, we know that the Bible says, absent from the Lord is present, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That you understand the moment that you die, you're immediately present with the Lord. And so when we talk about death, that death is not darkness, it's immediately light with the Lord. So again, I'm trying to build up context here, trying to give an understanding. So when we're talking about the valley of the shadow of death, we're not talking about death itself. But do you understand that a shadow occurs because there is a light source? All right? So if you have a light source and you have something in the way, it's going to cast a shadow. For example, on 2 Mondays from now, we're going to have an eclipse. Yay! And what's going to happen is that the moon is going to move in front of the sun, and there's going to be a darkness over the earth, and that's going to be a shadow. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The next one will happen in 90 years, from what I understand, so enjoy it while you can. But anyways, so that's a shadow. So we understand that death itself is not a shadow, it's light, because we get to be present with the Lord if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. However, the process of dying, that's where the shadow is. You know, the dying, to be dead, that's no problem. It's the process of dying that people don't want to face, to go through that process. So this is where the valley of the shadow of death, the word shadow implies approaching something. It implies that not that darkness is coming, but death is coming. Certainly death is a mystery, but it is not a time of darkness. One thing that death is that it's a divider. When you look at things through the idea of death, you realize what is important and what is frivolous. When you look at your Pog collection, you remember those back in the day? Good. No matter how many you collect it, it's useless when you die. You could collect all of the cars that you want. They're useless when you die. We understand that death is a divider. And what it does is that death separates us from the things that should not trouble us and helps us to put priorities in place. Amen. Now, when we have not reached death, but we see it coming, that's where the shadow of death comes. That's where you start searching and start looking. That's where some uncertainty comes. What is going to happen? What's going to occur? Now, for us, we understand that we have a great shepherd. May I explain some things about death the valley of the shadow of death, some things that we need to understand as we lead up to it. First of all, the certainty of death. The certainty of death. We know that if the Lord does not come soon, we will all die. It's not a subject we want to talk about, but it is a certainty. No matter who you are, death is a great equalizer. It's something we will all face if the Lord doesn't come. It's going to happen. Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes that he says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And he goes on and explains that. There is a time to die. Just as surely as there was a time where you were born, there will be a time where you to die. When you understand that the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. You know that you have an appointment. You have an appointment. Now, you don't know when it is, but God does. You have an appointment with death. It is going to come. Just like when you were born, you could say, here is the date. Here is the time I were born. There's also going to be a time, there was going to be a date and a time where you cease to be on this earth. How many years do you think that you have left to live? If you were to take everyone do this. Take on a piece of paper, scrap piece of paper. Don't do it in your Bibles, but if you need to do it in your booklets or something. And I want you to draw a line. And I want you to have a dot at one end. And I want you to draw it out and put a line at the other end. Okay, so two dots and a line all the way through it. Let's say that this represents your life. Now, I want you to be realistic, and I want you to put an X of where you think you are on that line. Now, if you think that you've got like another 100 years, then put it right at the very beginning. If you think that you're towards the end, put it there. If you think you're in the middle, but you mark it where you believe you think that you have. Do you understand that the stuff towards the left of the line, the past, you could do nothing about. You can't change it. You can't fix it. It's done. The only thing that you have left is that small space in between the X towards the end of the line. And by the way, that's your best guess. It could be tomorrow. We don't know when it is. But death is a certainty, and all that you have left to use is that small space. When you think of that, that sobers us up a little bit, doesn't it? A death is certainty. It is coming. What are you going to do left with the time that you have? One of the things I've been threatening to do for a long time is to get something in my office where I have three jars, glass jars. One that's kind of a bluish tint, one that's a reddish tint, and a center one that's clear, and has a whole bunch of those little pellets, kind of like BB pellets. And each one of those BB pellets represent the days that I have left. So if I have 1 year left, then I have 365 BBs. If I think I got more years left, you know, if I got 10 years left, that's some 3,650, you know. But let me say that whatever I have left, I put that many BBs in. Then every day, I take one of those BBs, and I put it in the bluish tint jug if I use that day wisely for the Lord. And if I waste it my day, if I just kind of use it frivolous, I didn't accomplish anything, I take that other BB and put it in the red jug. And every day, I do that. You understand that we live our life day by day. And what happens is that the length of your years, the life you lived, is not judged by how long you live, but how well you used those days. And so, isn't that a sobering thing? Wouldn't you hate to almost see that, interact it in your own life, to see honestly where those days were used? Well, again, a sobering thing, as we are in Psalm 23 talking about the valley of shadow of death, we understand that there is a certainty of death. It is coming. And when we think about death, there is a sobering thing about it. What are we going to do with the time that we have left? What are you going to use your life for? You're going to give your life to something. Why not give it to the Lord? But when we come face to face with the reality that death is coming, there's a certainty of it. It should help us to sober up and to take the time that we have left seriously. That's one good thing about facing death, to know that it's coming. What it does to us is it changes our perspective on our life. Not only do we see the certainty of death, but I want to give you something. I want to show you that there's a comfort in death. The comfort in death. God's children find comfort in the time of death. Now, comfort doesn't come from what we have or what we are or what we've accomplished in our life. Comfort is not found in things. Comfort is found in a person. That's Jesus Christ. You understand that Jesus Christ died for us, and he paid our price, and now he loves us supremely. Hold your finger here. Let me show you this comfort. Notice with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. There is a comfort in death. Romans, chapter number 8. Death is a great comfort to Christians. The process of dying is not very enjoyable thought. But do you understand that we have a promise from God that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? Amen. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to see what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 8. Notice with me starting in verse 35. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, here's the question. What can separate me from God's love? What can make him stop loving me? Notice as it goes on. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Notice that word sword. Do you know that even the sword, us being killed, cannot separate us from the love of God? Notice as it goes on, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You understand that there's a comfort in death, that absent from the body is present from the Lord, that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, God's still going to love you and you're going to be with Him forever. And there's a comfort that on the other side of death, we have heaven. On the other side of death, we have eternity. On the other side of death, we have Jesus Christ to dwell with forever. All that gives a comfort. That let us know that we don't have to guess or think or hope what happens to us if I die. I know for sure because the Bible says so. I know for sure because the love of God cannot be separated from any of these things. And by the way, when it goes through it, it covers everything. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. He's going to love me forever and ever and ever. You know that God cannot love you anymore and He will not love you any less. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So because of this, when we know notice with me in Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go with the same thought, if you don't mind. So if you're in the book of Romans, keep turning the other direction. So Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So keep going. And then after that, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Then you come to the Thessalonians. So you come to the T sections. There you go. So 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and then the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. And notice what the Bible says here in the book of Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now remember, the word conversation in the Bible doesn't deal with just our speech. It deals with our behavior. So let your conversation, let your behavior, let the way that you act and behave, let your conversation be without covetousness. Remember,
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.